And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Thanks for joining us. Please tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell somebody that we're on. Share the website with them. Tell them to check out the American Family Radio podcast and look specifically for The Awakening, but there are other wonderful podcasts on our network as well, on our website as well. So be sure to check them out. Mine posts every Wednesday, usually sometime Wednesday morning. Not necessarily the exact time all the time, but you look on Wednesday morning, you'll generally find it there by about 10 or 11 a.m. Central Time. Okay, we have got a lot to talk about today, and it deals primarily with one topic, although we may hit a couple of others as well. I do want to remind you before we get into the program, on Thursday, February the 6th, and I know some of you may be hearing this after Thursday, February the 6th, but for those of you who hear it before 4 p.m. on Thursday, February 6th, we are hosting, Staying True to America's National Destiny, is hosting a panel discussion called The Crisis of the American Family. As folks, you'll notice something. We have discussed all kinds of issues in the campaign. I was campaigning myself for 6 months, and I was the only candidate on the campaign trail for president who talked about the family and the breakdown of the family in America. It is the forgotten issue. It is the ignored issue because it is such a difficult issue to tackle. But somebody has got to tackle it because, look, folks, the breakdown of the family leads to all kinds of social problems that are costing us literally billions of dollars, and probably over a generation or so, we've spent trillions of dollars. But look, the breakdown of the family feeds crime. It feeds violence. It feeds prison overpopulation because most of the people in prison come from single-parent, female-headed households or dysfunctional families. It feeds alcoholism. It feeds drug addiction. It feeds overdose. It feeds domestic abuse. It feeds mental illness, academic failure, poverty, suicide, abortion, the killing of unborn babies. And get this, something like 84% of the people who commit these mass murders come from dysfunctional or broken families. This is an epidemic that is costing us socially, economically, on every level. It is hitting our society hard. And look, here's the thing. You know, if we solve a bunch of other problems, and thank God the Trump administration is setting about to solve some of these important problems, but if we solve all these problems and we do not address the issue of the family and the family continues to get worse, in the end, it's going to be a Pyrrhic victory because the foundation upon which the other solutions rest is going to be weak and uncertain. Because look, family is how we primarily propagate and promote our Judeo-Christian value and biblical worldview. Family is how we promote those principles that make America the greatest nation on earth. I'm convinced that one of the reasons why colleges and government schools are able to brainwash people so easily is that their grounding, their foundation, their understanding, their worldview has not been solidified in the family. And so they're readily susceptible even if they come from a Christian home, but that has not, or say they have a Christian mother or father, But that has not been passed on, maybe because the father's absent or because, you know, there's been a divorce, or maybe they never met their father, but their mother's a Christian or whatever the situation. But if those values aren't being passed on in a solid, stable family, guess what? That kid is looking for something to help understand the world around them and understand life. And along comes some pinhead professor or some misguided atheistic or homosexual teacher. And before you know it, they're believing or some far leftist nutcase. And the kid comes home and you're thinking, where did this come from? Because they're more readily susceptible to outside influences when they don't come from a strong and stable family. Now, look, I am not in the least suggesting that if you come from a good family, everything will be great and nobody will ever go off the reservation, because we know that's not true. I mean, we live in a sinful world, so we know that's not true. However, the likelihood of people going off the reservation diminishes to minuscule proportions when that person has a mother and a father in the home teaching them about life and teaching them how they should approach life. It is an entirely different story. You know, I have had people working for me and been hiring people for, oh my goodness, first time I hired anybody was 19. Let me get my date straight here. First time I ever hired anybody was 1979. No, 1980. First time I ever hired anybody was 1980. And I've been hiring people since 1980. That means I've been hiring people for 45 years. And for 45 years, I pretty much worked for myself and in one way or another been hiring others. Spent 10 years running a business. I spent 3 years running a community center. Then spent, 15 years running my own law firm. Had lawyers working for me. The last 15 years running Stan. I've had staff at my church. I've been hiring people for a good long while. And I'll tell you something. I've learned the people who I have found to be the most consistently outstanding are kids who've been homeschooled in Christian homes. Kids who have been homeschooled in Christian homes, I have found to be much, much more likely to be solid, to be stable, because they haven't had the experience of being educated in some of these podunk, I shouldn't use that term, some of these ridiculous elitist-minded, because they're not necessarily elite, but elitist-minded institutions. We know better than everybody else, and we see the world so much more clearly than anybody else, and we know gender is not real, and we know there's no such thing as men and women, and we know killing an unborn baby is a great thing. I mean, you know, all this stuff that they think that it's just sort of doctrinaire, leftist, and Marxist, and atheist thinking, and they pass that stuff on to kids like a virus. But the homeschool kids I have had the privilege of working with have tended to be the most stable, most reliable, most mature, most diligent about the work ethic of all the young people that and all the people that I've ever hired. So, look. If we don't address the issue of the family and we don't get a handle on this thing soon, we may at some point get past the point of no return. I don't think we're there yet. You all know that the black community, most of all, is just, the family breakdown situation is acute. So look, I don't want to spend all my time on this, but that's Thursday, February 6th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So for those of you listening on American Family Radio on Central Time in the Central Zone, it would be 3 p.m. obviously, Central Time. It's going to be 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be live streamed. So you go to our website, standamerica.us, and you can watch it there. Or you can watch it on our Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR or E.W. Jackson for America. You can watch it on our church page, thecall.org. And you can watch it on my Rumble page, Rumble at the Real E.W. Jackson, Rumble at the Real E.W. Jackson. And there's going to also be an opportunity for you to comment and get involved in the discussion. We have a comment email, comment@standinc.net, comment@standinc.net. But if you go to the website, standamerica.us, you'll get all of that. The Crisis of the American Family. This is the first forum put on by the Family Restoration Institute, which we created last year to address this very issue. Now, let me also mention, I was so incensed by this abominable thing that this so-called bishop did at the National Cathedral to commemorate the inauguration of President Trump that I really felt led by the Holy Spirit to do my own inaugural sermon, and I did it. You can find that inaugural sermon, again, on our Facebook page. You can find it on our YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is E.W. Jackson YouTube channel. And the Facebook page, again, is E.W. Jackson SR. A number of other places as well. Every place I pretty much mentioned that to you, you can find it there. If you have any problems and you want to watch it, it's getting, I posted it, when did I post it? Oh, I posted it Monday, and it got about 1,200 views on Monday. So it's off to a great start. And I think you'll be gratified by it. If you were as frustrated as I was by that heretical pablum that woman was spewing, then you will really be refreshed by my inaugural sermon. I entitled it Righteous Governance. Righteous Governance, out of Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. So I think you, I'm hoping that at some point President Trump will see it and will be inspired and encouraged by it. So there's that. All right, let's get into something that's really just breaking. And so by the time you're listening to this, it might have been in the news a day or two, or maybe a little longer, depending on how far out you listen or watch this program. These are also video recorded. We just haven't yet begun to place the video recordings. The first posting is the audio on American Family Radio, but we're going to place the video as well after it's aired on American Family Radio, after it's posted on American Family Radio sometime later. I'll let you know in the future exactly when you can watch it if you're so inclined. There's a big scandal now breaking over the U.S. Aid and International Development Agency, they call it USAID, over the waste and abuse. It's actually the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, for the waste and abuse that they found that they're engaged in. I'm pretty sure they work very closely and coordinate very closely with the UN, which would be another reason why they're an abomination, because the UN is an abomination. I mean, that thing is just, it's useless. And while this USAID is it's not a UN organization, they do work closely with the UN. And so they funded, for example, they fund somewhere in the vicinity of about $20 billion through the United Nations and international organizations. So they're funneling money to the United Nations. I really believe the United Nations needs to go and we need to figure out what can replace it, but it needs to go. It's that thing is nothing but, it's just a complete waste of money. But even worse than that, we are financing our own demise with that thing, because the UN is dedicated to, as far as I'm concerned, the destruction of the United States of America, even though these idiots don't know without the United States of America, they couldn't exist. Because without our money, they wouldn't exist. I guess Communist China would prop them up. But, you know, Communist China is a tyrannical, totalitarian nation, and there's no telling what would be the results if they didn't get their way with the UN. But that aside, U.S. aid is right now, they have been closed down. They've been shuttered. If you go to their website, now, by the time you hear this, it may be different. But I've been checking for the last several hours. Their websites are all down. They have been shuttered. Now, there are people screaming and yelling, you can't do that. There's a lot of good work that they do. You know, don't shut them down. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Folks, from what I'm learning, there is no baby. There's just nothing but nasty bathwater. Okay? There is no baby. It's just a bunch of nasty bathwater from a bunch of filthy, corrupt bureaucrats bathing themselves in the muck and the mire and the mud of corruption. That's all there is. And it needs to be thrown out. I have a couple of things that I want to raise about this for your consideration. As it turns out, because I didn't know this until I began to really look into it. In fact, I was on with Pastor Jeff Shreve yesterday, and I hadn't really looked into it. So we talked about it in general, and I knew that there was a problem with the profligate spending, but I didn't know any specifics about exactly what it was. Of course, when you hear about this excessive and reckless spending in the federal government, is anybody surprised? Does any of you say, oh, what? Really? Reckless spending in the federal government? I can't believe my ears. You know, I can't believe that's happening. Well, of course, you just got, yeah, what else is new? As it turns out, folks, and boy, this is a testament to, I mean, this really, this will school us, okay? This will school us. If you had any questions at all about a certain segment of our society and the social issues it's creating, if you had any question, this is going to put all questions to rest about exactly how they're operating. As it turns out, the lion's share of the money that is being spent by USAID is being spent to promote homosexuality and transgenderism, or the so-called, I don't call it LGBTQ, I call it SPCG, meaning sexual perversion child grooming movement, because that's what it is. Most of the money of USAID is being spent to promote that. Because you realize too, don't you? DEI now, while people hear DEI, they think of Black, Hispanic, and all that, and maybe women. But DEI really is to promote homosexuality and gender confusion. That's really what it's about. Because, you know, before, when it was just Black folks, it was called affirmative action. Now it's DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because, see, the inclusion part is something that the homosexual activists and the sexual perverts gave us, the inclusion part. You got to be inclusive. Meaning that people who had been excluded because they lived in a way that was contrary to most people's understanding of proper morality, he said, no, you got to include them now. We got to be inclusive. That's what that word was intended to do. That was intended to sweep in all of the sexual deviants. So here's what they're spending money on. And this is not exhaustive. First of all, I'm going to give you this from the White House perspective. Then I'm going to tell you what USAID is saying about where they're spending money. So $15 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces. Serbia, $70,000 for production of a DEI musical in Ireland. What do you think that musical is going to be about? $2.5 million for electrical vehicles in Vietnam. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. $2 million for sex changes in LGBT activism in Guatemala. Funding to print personalized contraceptives, birth control devices in developing countries. Personalized condoms. Now, and here's some of the other things that just a smattering of some other things that they're spending money on, ridiculous things. $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. Money going to help support designated terrorist organizations and the nonprofits or the nonprofits that support them. I mean, they're giving money to a nonprofit. It turns out the nonprofit is linked to a terrorist organization. The inspector general has found this to be the case. Money to feed Al-Qaeda affiliated fighters in Syria. No, folks, I'm not making it up. Now, see, it wouldn't go directly to those fighters, so it goes to some sort of nonprofit that claims to have some, you know, lofty goals, and then they go feed terrorists and make sure that they're nice and healthy and get good meals, and they can go out and kill people, but not have to do it on an empty stomach. And look at this. Money to fund irrigation canals, farming equipment, and fertilizer to support Afghanistan Taliban's heroin production. I kid you not, folks. To support the Taliban's heroin production. I mean, again, this comes under the category, he's got to be making that up. No, I'm giving you this directly from the White House report on USAID. Now, as if that weren't bad enough, this comes from a report of the so-called LGBTQ community about all the wonderful things that USAID does. The wonderful things that they do. And they list in this particular article, they list five. And they're just so grateful. And they're so concerned that these might go away. See if they include, they might be a little too embarrassed to include the money that is spent because, you know, but here's one. They gave grants in for Bangladesh so as to include gender diverse people in the Bangladesh national census. Let me say that again, because that could just go over your head because it's so crazy that you say, no, I didn't hear that right. Yeah. Money to make sure that in Bangladesh, the national census includes, quote, gender diverse people. One of the things they want to do is increase, for example, the gender options. So, you know, they don't want it just to be male and female. They want it to be male, female. And then, you know, other, binary, non-binary, whatever, but non-binary, whatever crazy designation they come up with. They want Bangladesh to pass a transgender law for gender diverse people. Our taxpayer dollars going to finance this. They were giving grants for transgender empowerment and quality health care in South Africa. In other words, quality health care for transgender people to empower them. And they were doing this in partnership with, of course, South African government. And they were including things like access to hormone replacement therapy drugs and psychosocial support services. Psychosocial support. What? Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. So here's the third. They wanted to reduce transgender discrimination in advocating for legal gender recognition in Kosovo. So they're giving your taxpayer dollars and mine to Kosovo for engagement, for equity activity, to advocate for legal gender recognition in Kosovo. What can one say about this? Except it sounds positively insane. Here's another one. They want to engage government agencies in Guatemala to reduce anti-LGBTQI+ stigma. So they financed something called the Electoral Governance and Reform Project in the National Congress of Guatemala to identify priorities and provide technical assistance on legal reforms to recognize identity, increase LGBTQI political participation, and address hate crimes against LGBTQI+ individuals. And the money is going to train government officials to be human rights ombudsmen and governmental officials in different public offices for the purpose of reducing stigma and discrimination against LGBTQI community in Guatemala. Here's another one. They've given money in parts of the Middle East and North Africa. There's not a lot of NGOs, nonprofits getting this money, who are addressing the issues of enhancing security protections, get this now, for, quote, gay men and men who have sex with men, for sex workers, for transgender people, and for those who use intravenous drugs. Let's not forget them, which is a lot of times the same people. But what they want to do is organize, they're giving people money to help them organize, plan, and strategize for better health programming for these groups, men who have sex with men, sex workers, transgender people, and people who use intravenous drugs and might end up contracting HIV, to strategize for their health programming and their rights advocacy. Now, that's just five. And they quote, USAID is honored to support these initiatives and will continue to work to ensure the human rights of LGBTQI persons, to make sure that they are respected and advanced in our work. Now, I just gave you a summary of the White House that is against all this, and a summary of an advocacy organization that is for all this, and they're consistent. They're both saying the same thing. This is what USAID is dedicated to. So I have a number of questions I want to ask you about this. Here's number one. What in the Sam Hill, that's an old expression, makes any bureaucrat think that they have the constitutional right to take your taxpayer dollars and mine and use them to advance a sexual agenda internationally? I mean, just think about the mindset of that. It's not your money. In fact, I think Marco Rubio made this point. It's our money. It's not their money. It's not the bureaucrats' money. It's not the government's money. It's the taxpayers' money. All the government is a trustee for our money to use that money in a way that benefits the interests of the United States of America and the American people. That's all that that's all they really are. If you just come right down to it, they are glorified trustees. It's not their money. The money is funneled into and under their control and aegis for the purpose of serving someone else, not themselves. You know, we have a government of specific and enumerated powers. Can you think of any provision of the government that gives the government the right to take your money and spend it to promote a sexual agenda around the world? It takes a level of arrogance and a level of absolute disdain for the people who have entrusted you with this responsibility to take that money and use it for that purpose. By the way, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing that Barack Obama started this because he was the one who publicly made clear he wanted to use USAID to promote homosexuality. He made that quite clear. He wanted countries, he went around the West Indies saying that, you know, you all ought to accept same-sex marriage. I remember he famously went to Kenya and told them they need to accept same-sex marriage. And they told him, you need to go back to the United States of America with that mess because we don't buy it here. We're not having it here. And sent his saddle home. Just, you know, so you, I mean, he left with his tail tucked between his legs because they just told him, we're not having it. Now, you know, that's pretty telling that the first black president of the United States would go to an African country, and what he wants them to do is to embrace homosexuality. That's why all that first black president nonsense, I've never been moved by it, not in the least. As far as I'm concerned, he might as well have been the first homosexual president because that was his agenda. That's what he promoted more than anything else. Look, homosexuality, Islam, and climate change were his three main things. Don't say anything bad about Islam. We have to defend Islam. Islam is great. Islam is wonderful. And then homosexuality, that's great. That's a great thing. Yeah, we all ought to admire that. And then climate change. The world is we're about to lose the planet. We got to save the planet. I mean, just completely out of touch with reality with all of that. But that was his agenda. And for any black folks who have an opportunity to hear this, if you're listening right now, Barack Obama did absolutely nothing to help, to support, to buttress the black community at all. And I wasn't looking for him to do anything special, just get out of the way and encourage people, use the bully pulpit of the presidency to encourage people to stand up on their own two feet and use the gifts and talents and abilities God gave them, go to work and do something with their lives. And stop making a bunch of excuses on the basis of race. He didn't even do that. Oh, he occasionally said something about fatherhood, but I mean, it was really not much. Main problem, main social problem facing the black community. He didn't say much about it. He just glossed over it. I think he was just checking the box. You know, just checking the black box thing. You know, oh yeah, see, I'm black too, see? But didn't, absolutely nothing. That's an aside, but I think he's probably more responsible for this than anybody else because that was a big part of his agenda. And he was the first president, in my knowledge, to go around the world telling countries that they needed more homosexuality or they needed to be more receptive. They needed to be more accepting. They needed same-sex marriage and all that nonsense. I mean, that was unprecedented. But he did it. And I'll simply say to you what I've said to friends. It's the first time I've actually said it publicly, I think. But, you know, you have to wonder about a man who claims to be a heterosexual who makes it a primary objective of his life to promote homosexuality. You have to wonder. I mean, I don't know what your answer is ultimately, but you do have to wonder, don't you? I mean, because that's just a bit strange. We're having a seminar and a panel discussion to promote the God-ordained two-parent male-female, man-woman, married, monogamous lifestyle, because that's what God ordained. Now, we're promoting that. And that's quite normal and quite healthy. But that's not what Obama was promoting. No. Obama was promoting homosexuality. That was his big thing. And I was supposed to support him because he happened. Why aren't you supporting the first black president? Yeah, well, I guess I've answered that. I won't bother to answer that again. But so that's the first thing. The unmitigated gall to take your money and mine. I don't care if it's not but 5 cents of my money. I don't care how much it is. To take my money, your money, our taxpayer dollars, and use it to promote this. I mean, what's wrong with these people? Well, we know what's wrong with them. They're full of the devil. Now, here's the second question this raises. When you think about it, where do you think you get the constitutional right to do it? I mean, even if you are so inclined, which is to me bad enough, but okay, you're so inclined to want to take taxpayer money and use it to promote a sexual deviancy agenda. Where do you get the constitutional authority to do that? Show me the provision of the Constitution that gives you the right. Now, look, I don't have any doubt whatsoever that the President of the United States, it would be under the President of the United States, under his executive authority, can use money that is earmarked for foreign policy to promote the interests of the United States of America. I don't have a problem with that at all. And that may be manifested in a variety of different ways. I mean, it may be manifested through giving armed support to one of our allies. It may be manifested through supporting an institution in a particular culture that we think is particularly pro-American or will help us. Help our interests in that country, in that area. Okay, I can see all that. I can see using foreign aid for humanitarian purposes for an ally upon whom we are relying and we want them to be able to resolve any cataclysmic issues that affect their country. We want them to be stable and strong as soon as possible. Okay, I can hear an argument about that. I think even that can be taken too far. I don't see us sending our military to defend the sovereignty and borders of another nation while allowing our borders to be porous and open. I don't get that one. But if our ally says, okay, we need your help here, and we determine, our own independent analysis determines, yes, this is helpful to them and therefore and also in our best interest as a nation. Okay, all right, I can see that. I think a clear argument would be made for the constitutionality of that because That's the government providing for our safety and for our security. I can't marshal a constitutional argument for promoting homosexuality in foreign lands. Can you? And look, folks, let me just be clear about something. As right as it is, I can't see giving taxpayer money to foreign countries to promote the life agenda. Although I'm in agreement with the life agenda and want to see the life agenda supported, but that's up to us as citizens to do that. Our government doesn't have any authority to do that. That's certainly in the interest of unborn babies, and I'd love to see them protected and see their lives spared, but it's up to us as citizens to do that. That's not the government's role. Even though I'm in agreement with that agenda. That's not something the Constitution delegates to the government to do. I mean, my goodness, the government should be protecting the lives of unborn children here, and it's not really doing an adequate job of that by any stretch of the imagination. But you want to go to some foreign country and do it? There's no constitutional authority for the government to be giving your money and mine away to foreign countries and foreign entities and NGOs in order to promote homosexuality, to promote lesbianism, to promote gender confusion, or for that matter, to promote the killing of unborn babies, which they have done too. And I believe Donald Trump has put a stop to all of that. Because I think he signed an executive order saying no federal funds may be used, no federal funds may be used to promote abortion here or abroad. Good. Praise God. Been waiting for that. And that's a good thing. But we've got to get back to constitutional governance because that would take care of this stuff. But see, look, but here is the attitude, folks, of the Democrat Party. And sadly, this is the attitude of some Republicans as well. So I don't want to just say this is only Democrats because there are some rhino Republicans or people who are Republicans who are not truly conservative who go down the same road, which is the Constitution's okay, but the government can pretty much do whatever we want to do because the government is where our good ideas are supposed to be implemented. No, it's not. The government is where your good ideas, consistent with the authority you have been delegated by the Constitution of the United States, may be done, and nothing more. You don't get to do things in government because they're good ideas. You get to do things in government because they're within the bounds of the Constitution. And then, presumably, and they're good ideas as well. But that's not the attitude that many have today. Many today have the attitude that, well, we can do whatever we want to do. And the Constitution is nothing but a piece of paper. You know, some would go so far as a piece of paper written by a bunch of old white guys, slaves and slave masters and all that. And who cares what they thought? That really is the attitude of many. When in fact, the Constitution of the United States is the most successful governing document in the history of the world. And we better come back to it. Because this is what you get when you don't come back to it. Here's the third thing I want to mention, and I'll be done. I got one other footnote I'm going to give you, something that you can do that I think you'll find interesting. Here's what this shows. Remember I said at the very beginning, it says something to us that we need to really pay attention to. And here's what it says to us. It says to us that this whole homosexual, gender-confused cabal, which they call themselves the LGBTQ whatever, I call them the SPCG, the Sexual Perversion Child Grooming Movement, that they have insinuated themselves into every aspect of life. And behind the scenes, they are pursuing their agenda with a vengeance. I didn't know that they were using all this USAID money for that purpose, but that's what they've been doing. And let me tell you something, folks. I've been saying this all along. Look, they have infiltrated the corporate world. And that's why people better keep their mouths shut if they don't agree with homosexuality, or they don't agree with all this gender bending insanity, or they're not interested in using whatever pronoun some idiot comes up with, saying, no, you got to call me, what was the one guy said, you have to call me it. And people said, we're not going to call you it. Well, you're misgendering me, and I need to be paid to go home and recuperate. I've been traumatized because they won't call me it. A true story, folks. They have infiltrated the entertainment industry. They have infiltrated the arts. I was looking at some promotion about some program, some artsy program, and it was obvious that the host was a homosexual. It's obvious that a lot of people participating. I mean, you could just, the men just dripping with femininity. Because I guess in order to be an artist now, you got to be a homosexual. Do not underestimate the degree to which they have infiltrated various aspects of society. And folks, look, here's the reality. I know there are a lot of venues that will not invite me to be on because I speak so strongly about this issue. And by the way, I don't mind telling you, this is a footnote that I didn't plan to say, but I'll say it. I got a call from someone that I've known for a while, but did not know that the person was a closet homosexual. And that person has been on various discussions in which I have led talking about this issue. And the person apologized to me for having hidden it from me. And then we had a discussion about, you know, the spiritual impact and implications of that. I mean, and I was not nasty. I didn't call them names, anything like that. But the person said to me in the course of that, and this is a person who's heard me in private discussions, semi-private, not with, you know, family members, but, you know, in various situations in which I'm speaking, and not speaking to the public at large, but maybe speaking in a smaller venue, had heard me and said to me, but you know, it's interesting. I knew you didn't agree with homosexuality, but I never heard any hate coming from you. Because I don't hate them. Now, I hate what they're trying to do to our culture, and they mistake that for hatred for them personally. I hate the ideas that they embrace and try to promote because they're lies, and I do hate lies because God hates lies and tells us that as his people, we are supposed to hate falsehood. God commands us to hate falsehood. Proverbs chapter 6, these six things the Lord hates, just seven are an abomination to him. Several of them have to do with lies, a lying tongue. And God hates lies. We're supposed to hate lies. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing bad about it. Nothing to apologize for. This person said, but I never heard any hate. And, you know, I was really glad to hear that because I don't hate anybody. But I tell you what, because they're involved in so many places in life, they will shut you down. Because if you say, well, I don't agree with homosexuality, it's sin. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. They're going to just remember what they tried to do to that couple, what they did to the Benham brothers. Anybody, Chris Platt, anybody who goes to a Bible-believing church that teaches the biblical view of marriage, you are an enemy. You are a hater. You may be going there loving God, praying for people and asking God to bless people who don't agree with them and just, Lord, just show them grace and mercy and save them. And they, oh, you're a hater. I don't care what they think. I really don't. Because they don't have a heaven to put me in or a hell to send me to. I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I would please men, I would not be the servant of God. So I don't care what they think. I'm going to love them anyway, pray for them anyway, but I'm going to call them out, though. It isn't just if you think love means I'm going to be silent in the face of your abominable promotion of degenerate, depraved thinking in our culture and among our children. I'm going to be silent about that. You can forget it. It's not going to happen. I am so glad President Trump is shutting this USAID garbage down. Shut it down. Because it's another abomination. But it just goes to show how deeply infiltrated they are in our whole society and how much power they're wielding completely outside of what should be for their numbers. It's the last thing I'll mention. My organization's had this for a while, and we've been discussing it lately and trying to figure out how to raise it up, but I'll tell you about it. If you go to our website, you will find on our website under, I think it's under the Get Involved section. Actually, no, that's not it. But you will find let me try to find what I'm talking about here so you will know. Oh my goodness. Where is it? Well, oh, Get Involved. I think it's Get Involved. No, here we go. Stand with us. Pledge Oath Action. You will find on our website an oath, citizen's oath to the Constitution of the United States. Citizen's oath to the Constitution of the United States. If you have never taken an oath to the Constitution of the United States, the only categories of people who have are people who are in law enforcement, people who join the military, and people who serve in elective or appointive office. Those are the, and naturalized citizens. Those are the only categories of people who take an oath to the Constitution. I'm not recommending we require that legally. I don't believe in that. But this is a voluntary citizen's oath to the Constitution. If you've never done that, go check it out. You might want to do this in your family. We're going to do this at the end of Celebrate American History Month. At the end of September of this year, we're gonna try to get a mass oath, citizen's oath to the Constitution done so that people who've never taken an oath to the Constitution, I did when I joined the Marine Corps, but so that people who never have will have an opportunity to do that and say, you know what? I took an oath to the Constitution too. Well, God bless you, everybody. With that, that's going to do it. Listen, you know what we've got to do. No matter what the opposition, no matter what they say, we've got to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless you.